Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you truly are greater. You are our God, and there is none like you. Not one. Not one. There is no one that compares to you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And we thank you that because you are for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing can stand against us. Plenty can come, but nothing can stand. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now you may greet somebody and you can be seated. Amen. Boy, you look like some really happy people tonight. Happy as of God. Amen. You know, when we were small, when we were young, I don't know if you guys remember this, but we used to always sing this song. It was Jesus Loves the Little Children. You remember that? How many of you remember that? All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Well, you know, we've heard that song before, but I had an opportunity to see just how much God loves little children about 2 years ago. Pastor Joel and myself and several of the members here from the church traveled with Pastor Kevin Cooley to the nation of India. And while we were there, we traveled to seek him. And while we were there, we met a beautiful little girl named Destiny. Now, Destiny was an orphan. We met her at a children's home run by two wonderful people who I'll tell you about in just a moment. But Destiny, there was nothing about her that indicated in any way that she was orphaned or abandoned. She was so full of joy, so full of just vibrant, just a happy little girl, full of joy. And I'm convinced that the reason she was so full of joy, as were all of the other children in this home, is because God truly does love children. And he loves them so much that he sent not one, but two of his sons into her life and into their lives. One of them was his firstborn, who was then, of course, the only begotten, but became the firstborn of many, to give Destiny a hope and a future and an eternal destiny with him. Secondly, later on, much later on, he sent another one of his sons, and this one, his name is Mike Van Buskirk. And he sent Jesus from heaven to earth, but he sent Mike all the way from the U.S. over to seek him India just for Destiny. Is that not the love of God? Amen. And so while we were there, we got to meet all of the little children in this children home that is run by Mike and his wife, Joe T. And this is how this thing happened. God found this young man and he saved him. He was just a young man. He saved him. And right after that, he filled him with the Holy Ghost, filled him with the Holy Spirit. And right after that, he put a burden. People say burden. I like to say a passion, a heart for India, for the nation of India in his heart. And Mike, in obedience to that call of God, he went there on what he thought was a short-term mission. God set him up because he introduced him to Joe T, who became his lovely wife. And later on together, they got married. Mike moved to India. Hope Home is ministering to a bunch of very, very wonderful kids who know they're loved by God. And as well as there's a vibrant church there that Mike and his wife and his family pastor. And Mike has a big heart for India and big vision. Listen, would you please join me in welcoming to the stage tonight, Reverend Mike Van Buskirk. I'm sorry, Mike Van Buskirk. I'm from the country.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it could be Van Bus car, Van Bus truck, Van Bus plane. That's easier. I don't know what it is about Van Buskirk that's just, it's a mouthful. It's good to see you tonight. You know, I appreciate the welcome. Thank you, Pastor Tommy. And before we go any further, I want to give it to Jesus. So if you could stand with me one more time, let's give it to Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We exalt you. We honor you, King Jesus. There's none like you. You're good and your mercy endures forever. We acknowledge you in this place tonight. We declare that you are God and King. You are our everything. There's none like you. And we're so thankful tonight for your presence. We're so thankful to come, to gather together in your name, to seek you, to worship you, to draw close to you. And we thank you that as we do, you draw close to us and our lives are changed. Our lives are transformed in your presence. We go from glory to glory tonight. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can take your seats. So good to be with you tonight, and I'm so thankful to be here. You may not know what a blessing you are to our family, to our ministry. I hope to communicate that to you tonight. But we really are thankful for this church, thankful for Pastor Joel, thankful for the ministry team here, the pastoral staff, and just the wonderful saints, the wonderful believers who are here that make up Word of Life. You make this church what it is, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your partnership and your support of our ministry. Pastor Tommy mentioned Destiny. We got her when she was just 14 days old. My wife went and picked her up from a village. We found out about this baby from a Bible school graduate. The mom wanted to abort the child, and actually, as far as we knew, would have killed the baby even upon delivery. Just didn't want the child. And so we went immediately and picked her up, and she's going to turn 5 January 1st. So Destiny's born on New Year's Day, and she really is as full of life and as sweet as Pastor Tommy described. We have a total of 14 children in the children's home, and we're just step by step expanding as the Lord leads us and enables us. And I want to share, you know, some photos with you, give you kind of a visual of our home back there. And I'm going to share some things that are in my heart from the Word of God as well. Basically, I'm here just to impart my heart to you, and above all else, I have a love for Jesus that I know you have too, but I hope that I can just impart that to you, and that your love for him can just grow even more. You know, I find that the easiest thing I've ever done is falling in love with Jesus. That's probably, I don't know if there's anything easier than that. He is love, and he loved us first, and he loves us so much, and to love him is just the appropriate response, isn't it? It's really the easiest thing to do. And I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful for Jesus. So I want to impart my heart to you tonight. I love the Lord, and I have a love for the nation of India. I love the nations of the world. And that's something that God put in me, because that wasn't there before. Before I met Jesus, I didn't have that. But you know, the Bible says that describes that love for people as part of the evidence, part of the proof that we are children of God. The love of God, it says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so I carry that with me tonight. I carry a love for the nations. I carry in my heart a love for the nation of India and for the nations of Southeast Asia, specifically that part of the world that is still so lost and in such need for the gospel. They need the light of the gospel. They need preachers. They need people like you to go and to give their life in service to those who don't yet know Christ. I didn't know what I was getting into when I took my first trip to India. I'd only known the Lord for about 3 years. But God did a rapid work, a quick work in my life and made it very clear. I may share more of that with you, but that first trip, I didn't know what I was getting into. I'd never been out of the country before, but I remember telling the Lord almost just immediately after I got off the airplane, and I began to see the harvest. When you see the harvest, something happens to you. when you see multitudes that are weary and scattered, like Jesus described, like sheep without a shepherd, something happens to you. Something happened to me when I saw the need. You get outside this country, you see things that you never imagine. You see need on a multiplying scale. You see poverty, sickness, and disease. You see things that are just terrible, the condition of humanity. But when I saw that, I told the Lord, I could stay here for the rest of my life and serve you. And it seems like he took me up on my offer. Gave me a beautiful wife from India who I couldn't bring with me this time. So I bring her love and greetings to you all. She's back home taking care of business. Lots of business to take care of back there. But I met her, and it's been 14 years now since I took that first trip to India. And there's no end in sight for us. There's plenty to keep us busy till we meet Jesus. And so good things are happening, great developments. This year has been an awesome year. We've had some answers to prayer, things that we've been standing in faith for a number of years. And that's, I want to show you, give you a glimpse of some of these things. I've got some photos of some property. Our building's there in the background. That's where our church is. Our boys' home is there. And our academic school called Hope Academy that we started this year. It's an academic school open to the community. And that's what's kept my wife extra busy taking care of the school. Because we don't get a summer holiday like here. But we didn't have any land. We had a building, but we didn't have a playground. We didn't have any space to play. I've got little kids. Little kids need space, you know. All we had was a house with a roof that they could go up on. They could play on the roof of the house. But how many of you know it's nice to have some grass? Nice to have some ground. And we all, me and my wife, we would just, you know, in our hearts, we always really wanted our kids to have a place to play before they got too old and they didn't need a place to play. My children are 7 and 9. My son's about to turn 9. And all the other kids in the children's home. So, about 10 years, we'd been standing in faith for this property. The land, it's on the building there, connects to it. It goes all the way back to what you can't see anymore. You can't see it all. But we were able to purchase this land this year with your help. You did that. You did that. Now our school has a playground. We got a few things out there, some swings. There's a tree, a 60-foot tree. You see it there? The wind blew it over. It didn't touch our building, didn't touch our swing sets, just fell in the right place. Praise the Lord. But we've got a playground now. We've got, of course, place for the kids to run and jump and play and swing and do all those things that they need to do. Amen? And we're also able to use this for lots of activities. The next photo, you can see we hosted. Well, we do a lot of children's outreaches. Every week we have kids out there that we minister to. We love on them, and they come from the community, the village around us, and almost all of them come from families that don't know the Lord. And so we're reaching the kids, and that's a huge key to winning the nations. If we can get them while they're young, as children, as youth. And something's happening as these kids are exposed to Jesus. They're going to grow up, and you know, their best memories are going to be the times they were at church. They're going to grow up and remember the funnest days of my life were at the church. And that's a good thing. That does something. That marks them. And so lots of children's ministries happening on that land also. And we just had a youth camp. Next photo kind of shows that. We got a swimming pool out there. We had a trampoline on the other side. We had tents set up all over the property. And the property does go all the way back there. So we had about 30 youth from that village, from that community. All of them came from homes that don't know the Lord. And we were able to lead them to Jesus. We were able to love them. And again, same thing. Yeah, praise God. Their best memories are going to be, man, the time I spent at the church. And so it's just awesome. We're establishing an epicenter. An epicenter, that's where the earthquake begins, you know. And we're establishing an oasis, a place in the midst of darkness, in the midst of confusion and abuse, where young people can come, children and youth can come. Adults, of course, they're welcome too. They can come and they can encounter the love of God and the presence of God. And there's just nothing greater than that. But I wanted to show you just this property and let you rejoice with us for this this answer to our prayers and the fulfillment of something we've been believing God for a number of years. And again, thank you for that. The next one, it's a little video. You can see the youth worshiping Jesus. Now, keep in mind, most of them, they don't know the Lord at all. But they're jumping right in, worshiping the Lord. And this is inside the church. Well, you can see them moving, having a good time. Bless them, Lord. It gets a little more wild as it goes on. Now, I want to point out the one that's really moving. He's one of our boys in the children's home, just so you know. He's one of our oldest, and he likes to dance. All right, you can cut it off. But so that's something that we just did. We had that youth camp back in, I guess it was in July. We had it for about 4 days out there on the property. Had 30 youth give their lives to Jesus. And praise God. Some of them, you know, their families aren't willing to let them go to church. They came to the camp, which was a great victory, but they're not able to come regularly to the church because the family just, they don't understand. So we try to encourage them the best we can. We send them text messages and things like that. And I told one young lady whose family doesn't allow her to come to church, I told her, well, you are the church. And so there's a church at your house. You're there. The church is in your home. And so though you can't be with us on Sundays, you're there and we'll keep in touch. And so we're able to encourage them, send them messages on their phones and things like that. But great things are happening in India. And I want to thank you again for being a part of what God's doing there. There's still lots of work to do, lots of people to reach. India's got well over 1 billion people in the nation. And a very small percentage of that billion knows Jesus. So still, so much for us to do together. Amen. In that nation. Win lots of souls. Populate heaven. Bring them to heaven with us. Amen. I want to encourage you just, you may already be doing this, I'm sure, but you know the situation throughout the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria, and what's happening, and of course Israel, and I'm sure that's something that you're praying about, and I would encourage you to do that. It's all pointing to the return of Jesus. Things are just being put in place and happening, unfolding, as the Lord gets ready to return. His return is near and soon, and so I encourage you to pray for the situation there, and of course keep us in prayers, our family and our ministry. And the many outreaches that we're involved with, we need your prayers. Amen? These roses here, I asked the church to have them ready for me, and I appreciate that. They smell great. And, you know, I was praying for this time with you, and I just, you know, the rose, of course, is a beautiful flower, but the fact that it's called rose just reminds me of Jesus. It reminds me that Jesus rose. He rose from the dead. He rose on the third day. And not only that, but when he rose, we rose. We rose with him. We were resurrected with Christ. And the spiritual reality even now is that we're seated with him in heavenly places, far above the principality, the power, all the things that are happening on this earth, all the wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, you know, the diseases that are present here. We're seated with Christ above those things. That's the spiritual reality. And so even when we pray, we're praying from that place. When we carry ourselves knowing that we're resurrected with Christ, we rose with him when he rose. And it takes me back to the day I met Jesus. It takes me back to that day that I encountered him for the first time. 15-year-old, rebellious teenager. I was going nowhere very fast. And if I continued on that road, who knows where I'd be today. But Jesus, he intervened. Jesus stepped into my life. And in a very unexpected way, he surprised me. I didn't know. You know, when I met Jesus, when I prayed for the first time, I asked the Lord to help me, help my family, forgive me, come into my life. And at that time, my family was a big mess, a lot of brokenness. And so I share some of these things with you and my experiences as a believer, as a young man walking with the Lord. And part of the problem in my life was I was fatherless. And you know, today there's lots of that, lots of broken homes, lots of fathers that maybe aren't in the picture in that home, lots of single moms raising the children on their own, or maybe it's just the dad that's there raising their kids without the mom. And when that father figure isn't present, it really damages the child. And so I grew up, my father wasn't there. My mother, of course, she remarried a couple times, lots of abuse, lots of addiction in the home. I basically learned everything I didn't want in my own life, in my own family. I learned everything not to do. So at least I learned those lessons. You know, but I began to see the hand of God on my life because he is father to the fatherless. And I don't want to encourage you here in the church tonight. You may be an individual who maybe didn't have a father present in your life. And that may have caused hurt. That may have caused some insecurities or a lack of confidence, all these things. You may have grown up and not known your dad. My biological father, he went to prison when I was 12 years old. He wasn't in my life from an early age. But when I was 12, he ended up going to prison, and he just got out this year. He was in, you know, for a number of years, 25 or so years. He wasn't there, but again, God is a father to the fatherless. And so I met Jesus. He touched my heart. He transformed my life. I didn't know that I was a new creature. I didn't know that I was born again. All I knew was that something happened to me at that youth camp. Thank God for youth camps. That's why the youth camp I showed you, it's so dear to my heart, because I know what happened to me in 1996, the summer of 96, at a youth camp in Eastern Oregon. I met Jesus. My life was touched and radically transformed. And soon after, you know, I went back home. My family wasn't saved. I didn't have any Christian friends. I didn't know where to go to church. It was just me and my heavenly father to the fatherless. He was with me. And he began to lead me and guide me. Of course, I knew that I needed to find a church. So I'm looking for churches and just, you know, trying to find the right place. But before I even found my home church, I was walking home from school one day, right outside my house on the road, on the sidewalk, in front of my home, okay? There's a book. I pick up the book. It's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right in front of my house, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything. I'm just hungry for God. I'm thirsty. Okay, I understand, man, something's different, something's new. Jesus is Lord. This is real. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing all these things. And I find this book in front of my house. And I know God, you know, he somehow got it there for me. He's my father. He's helping me out. He's getting me in the place that I need to be. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my life to help me, amen, so that I can overcome all the stuff that's trying to bind me up, right? I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need the helper. I need the comforter. God knew that. My father knew that. And so he set that up for me. I remember taking that book into my bedroom, laying down on my bed. I just read through it, just a little book, read through it, prayed the simple prayer, asked God to fill me with his spirit, and he did. And like a river, like a river, that heavenly language began to flow, and it freaked me out. I thought, what in the world was that? Was that from God? Was that right? Was that what it was? Was that how it's supposed to sound? Okay, I wasn't taught. I didn't understand. But I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. And so I kind of put the brakes on after that. I thought, okay, not sure about that. Okay, but I carried it with me, right? And so now I'm looking for a church. Just keep in mind, father to the fatherless. He's ordering my steps. Now, he sent that book into my path. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost now. I need a church. I need a good home church. See, these events in my life, they tell me something, that there's a huge, God places great significance on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants us filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants us speaking in tongues. He wants us to have that prayer language because we need his help. And we need a good church. I didn't have a church. I didn't know where to go to church. I'm riding my bicycle, okay? Got long hair down to the middle of my back. I'm just shaved on the sides. There's no pictures from those days. It's like it didn't exist or something. It's funny. I'm riding my bike, and there's this shopping complex, and there's this sign to a church. I honestly don't even remember what it was called. New Life, New Hope, something like that. Something that just caught my attention and kind of was me at that moment. New Life, New Hope. Yeah, that's what happened. So I go to inquire about this church, and it's just an office. The church isn't there. It's just a church office. And so I ask the secretary who's in there, where's the church located? Because I'd like to go and visit the church. I'm a new believer. I just met Jesus, and I'm looking for a good church. And so this should be real simple, right? I need to go to your church. So where is it located? And she tells me where to go, on which day, and at what time. Simple instructions, no confusion. And so I followed those instructions to that place on that day at that time. But I'm telling you, I went in that church and it was a totally different church. It wasn't the church that I was asking for. And to this day, I can't explain it. I walked into the doors of Church of the Harvest in Eugene, Oregon, a brand new church, barely 2 years old, about a dozen people in the building, exactly what I needed. I needed a family. I needed somewhere where I could connect and plug in and begin to serve. And so God somehow ordered the steps in such a way, I followed her instructions, but either she gave me the wrong instructions or there was an angel who gave those instructions to me. I can't explain it. But that was where I needed to be. That's my home church. You know, 14 years later, that's where I call home. And that'll be one of my final steps parts of this trip before I go back to India. I'll be back there with my home church. Why? Because we need a home church. We need a place where we can plug in, serve, and grow. In that environment, by the time I was 17 years old, I knew I was supposed to go to India. I knew that God was calling me to India. It didn't take 20 years. It didn't take 15 years. It didn't even take 10 years. It took 2 years in that place, serving and connected to the people of God. God was able to reveal to me his plan and purpose for my life. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anyone. If we'll plug in and connect, if we'll get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to serve in our church, man, God will make some things clear to us. God, he was setting me up step by step. I'm back in high school now. I missed a whole year of high school. I had to make up 2 years at once, okay? I got kicked out of my freshman year of high school for fighting with an Asian kid. Okay, in the hallway. The kid was from Asia. So my gang friends, we used to be enemies with the Asian gang on campus. See how God turns things around? I love Asia. I'm married to an Asian woman. I live there. Yeah, God does that. God did that. But I'm. What's happening? I'm going, of course, I'm trying to finish high school. I had to take one class twice. to make up the credit for my failed year. It was global studies. We studied Southeast Asia in that class. I guarantee I was the only student crying in class. We're watching videos of Southeast Asia. I'm crying. My eyes tearing up as we study that people group. God began to put that love in my heart, that passion in my heart for Asia. And so it became real clear. That's where I'm supposed to go. And again, that first trip, I told the Lord, I'll stay here and serve you forever. And I'm so blessed and so honored to do that in India. It's such a wonderful thing to follow the plan of God, to be in His will, and to let Him touch your heart, and then to go and take that touch that He's touched you with and touch other people. Find a child that you can love and bless. You know, I realized pretty quick I can't help everybody. There's lots of people. There's lots of need. There's lots of, children that are orphaned. I can't help them all, but I can help some of them. And that's the fuel that keeps us going. You know, otherwise, you get overwhelmed with the need. It's like, am I really making a difference? Yes. Even if it's one of those children, we're making a difference. We're making an eternal difference in the lives of the people that God puts in our path and allows us to touch with His love. And it's just awesome. So thankful for what God's doing there in India. So I just, again, want to encourage those of you that maybe you grew up without a father. God is your father. He is a father to the fatherless. That's what we tell the children in our children's home. God is your father. They're growing up with that understanding that they have a heavenly father, a father in heaven that loves them, has a plan and a purpose for their life. And there are no accidents. None of us are here by accident. I used to wonder, what's my purpose? Why am I alive? My family's messed up. We were homeless. When I went to that camp and met Jesus, we were living in a homeless shelter, my family and I. After I met Jesus and went back home, the conditions were still very, very oppressive. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a good home church where I was able to grow and learn the things of God. You know, that's what's so precious about Word of Life and you being connected here. This is a place to grow up and to become what God's called us to be, the men or the women of God that He's called you to be. What a wonderful place to be hooked up and plugged into. And I thank God for what He's doing here. So let me share some things with you from the Word of God. Let's get into the Word for a moment. If you would open your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, some things stirring in my heart, a few different subjects kind of stirring in my spirit. Humility is one of them, wisdom, and the fire of God is the other one. Humility, wisdom, and the fire of God. And the phrase that's been real strong in my heart for a number of weeks is this phrase, the price of the flame. The price of the flame. You know, Jesus paid a great price to get that flame in our lives. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He gave His life so that we could be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's a price that Jesus paid for that, so that we could burn, so that we could be burning ablaze with the fire of God. And so that phrase, the price of the flame, understanding what it cost Jesus and understanding what it's going to cost us to stay on fire. You know, it's one thing to meet Jesus and to get excited, but it's quite another thing to actually continue with Him and keep on burning for Him. Amen? You know, the older I get, the more on fire I want to become. I never want to look back on my life and say, man, I was really passionate as a young man, as a teenager in the high school. Man, I was a chronic tract distributor in high school. I got in trouble. I got sent to the counselor's office because I was tracts everywhere. I thought something was wrong with me. This guy's a religious fanatic. I'm sitting there talking to the counselor, and she pulls out the paperwork. Freshman, I mentioned it last time I was here, 0.14, that was my GPA before I met Jesus. And there's the paperwork. I went from a 0.40 to right next to a 4.0 in a summer. And so I told her, look, this is why I do what I do. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to every dropout, druggy, failing student on this campus. Okay? That passion was so alive, but I never want to look back on those days and say, man, I was really burning as a young man. I want the fire to grow brighter. I want to be more on fire tomorrow than I am today. But what's the price that I have to pay to keep that passion? What's the price I have to pay to continue burning? And so that flame doesn't begin to die down. Revelation chapter 3, Jesus speaks real straight. And he does that with all the churches, those seven churches that he spoke to. And these are the epistles of Jesus. It's awesome. We have the Bible, of course, is a book of letters, especially the New Testament. We've got the writings of the Apostle Paul, his epistles, Peter, John, the different ones written to the churches. In the book of Revelation, we have seven epistles of Jesus, letters that he wrote, of course, through John, to those churches. Such an important message to them, and it echoes today to us, these truths that the Lord is communicating. And this is the church of Laodicea that we're going to look at in starting in verse 15. We won't read the whole letter. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. We'll read, we'll start there and see how far we go. I think we'll read through verse 19. Revelation 3, 15 through 19. Listen to Jesus. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Jesus says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you'll not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. Verse 19, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. And I've learned that when the Lord disciplines and corrects me, that is one of the greatest expressions of his love for me. He loves me. He loves you. He brings correction and discipline into our lives, not to punish us in the sense of, just for the sake of punishment. It's not about punishment. It's not about judgment or any of those things. It's an expression of God's love. He loves us. So he corrects us and disciplines us. And that's what he's doing here to these seven churches. And you can see his language. You can see the correction. You can see the attitude that was there in that church. They said things like, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. You know, there's an attitude that was present there, and I believe it's still present today. It's an attitude of kind of independence or kind of self-sufficiency, like, you know, we don't really need the Lord. And we might not ever say that, but sometimes we can say it with our actions, with the way we conduct our lives and carry our lives, that we're kind of making our own way, doing our own thing. And it was, of course, a problem then in Laodicea. But, you know, these seven churches, Laodicea was the last one, number seven, that Jesus corrected. And a lot of people believe that those churches, it was like a chronological picture of, so today, the end times, the last days, the last church, number seven, Laodicea, would best describe the church before Jesus returns, the church at the end, which is us. We're at the end. Jesus is coming soon. Look around the world, what's happening in the Middle East. It's all pointing to the return of Jesus. And so we can take from this correction of the Lord some things into our own lives and say, okay, look, am I lukewarm? Am I cold or am I hot? And, how does something become lukewarm? Well, there's two options. Either it started heating up, but it just kind of stopped in the middle, right? Like the guy that gets excited and starts pursuing the things of God, but somehow in the middle of that pursuit just kind of gets comfortable, right? So you could become lukewarm that way, or you could reach boiling point, but not stay there and slowly sink back into lukewarmness. And so this, I really believe, is going to become an even bigger problem than it is right now in the church world, that there's going to be this lukewarmness. And so we've got to make a decision to stay on fire. And we got to figure out the things that we can do. What's the price of the flame? What do I have to do to keep the fire of God burning in my life? To stay on fire, to stay zealous for the things of God, zealous for good works. Amen? Again, this attitude that we see here, it's really a kind of a pride, type of pride. If I say, oh, I am rich, I have everything I need, I'm okay. It's just pride. And that was the attitude. And that attitude caused them to become lukewarm. Really, it looks to me like this church was obsessed with itself. Because what are they saying? It's all about me. I am. I have. In verse 17, you say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I have what I want, right? They were obsessed with themselves. I don't need a thing. They weren't asking, what do you want? What do you need, right? It was all about them. They were obsessed with themselves. And if we're not careful as believers, as children of God, it could all be about us. It could all be about me. And how do I keep the fire of God burning in my life? I make it about Him. It's all about Jesus. It doesn't matter what I want or what I need. The important thing is, what does He want? What does He need me to do? What does He need me to be? What does He want from my life? If I ever reach that place where I think I have everything I need, I'm rich, I don't want anything else, that's a dangerous place. Look, the Apostle Paul said, I always have need. I always have want. I've been taught, I've been instructed to abound, right? But also to suffer need. Maybe it's not my needs, but there are other people that have needs. And I can be touched for their needs. Maybe I have everything I want, but there's other people on the other side of the world or maybe next door to me. They need Jesus. It's not about me. It's about the world. It's about the love of God and what's in His heart. If we'll seek that, we'll stay on fire. We'll continue to burn. So Jesus, He's real straight with this church, this attitude which caused them to become lukewarm. It was a self-obsessed attitude that led to lukewarmness. We can stay on fire by continuing to keep our focus on Jesus. Amen? And that is a wise thing to do. Let me just give you a couple more scriptures. You can note them down if you'd like to. In the book of Proverbs, of course, the book of wisdom. And I really believe it's a wise thing to burn for Jesus, okay? It's a wise thing to passionately pursue Jesus and to get more and more on fire as we go on. I mean, the day I stand before Jesus, I want that to be the day I was burning the hottest, burning the brightest. Amen. So we see so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 4, I'll just read verse 7. It's a great passage of Scripture if you read the whole chapter. But verse 7 says this: getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. That's the New Living Translation. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So we need to develop wisdom in our lives, don't we? We need to walk in wisdom. We need to walk with the wisdom of God. And again, it's a wise thing to burn for Jesus. It's a wise thing to be hot. Okay, that's what Jesus is looking for. He said, either be cold or hot, but don't be in the middle. Don't be lukewarm. You know, don't reach a certain spot and stop, and don't go back to the middle. Burn. Amen. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So how can we develop wisdom in our lives? There's one word I want to leave you with, and that is humility. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You know, we saw that church of Laodicea, very prideful, very self-centered. I have everything I want. I'm rich. I don't need anything else. A real prideful attitude. Now here it says that with humility comes wisdom. You know, if we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, if we'll continue to acknowledge Him day after day, His lordship, His sovereignty over our lives, that He is the potter, we are the clay. that we're not our own. We were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. And that we're to glorify Him in our spirit, in our soul, and our body, to offer our lives as living sacrifices unto Him. If we'll continue to do that, humbling ourselves and watching out for those prideful attitudes or those conditions of the heart that will cause us to become lukewarm. With humility comes wisdom. We'll walk in wisdom. We'll get wisdom when we humble ourselves. You know, in Hebrew, the word wisdom is, it comes from a word, Anna, kind of like the name Anna. And I wonder if there's any Annas here. Is there any Annas in the church? Okay, I'm gonna mention a few names, okay? If I mention your name, I have a gift for you. So it do you well to come, okay? If I mention your name, come, I have gifts. If Anna's here, come and get a gift. What about Rose? Are there any roses here in the house? Look, I'll even extend it if you have a mom or a dad or someone in your home, okay? Rose, Anna, come and get a gift. I've got some stuff for you. And since we're talking about flowers, how about Lily? Are there any lilies? I'm serious. If I call your name, come on forward. And there's another name that I thought of as I was praying. It's the name Nicholas. Nick or Nicholas. If you're here, I invite you to come and get a gift. There's Nicholas. I've got some books for you, Nicholas. Here you go, my brother. What's your middle name?
Seth.
Seth, good to meet you. Yes.
Nicholas is my middle name.
Really?
James.
Wonderful. Here, these are for you. You're welcome. Well, good. I'm glad somebody's name was right. Actually, I was just, you know, seeking God and praying in the Spirit and seeing what came up in my heart, and Nicholas was one of those names, so I'm glad for both of you. God bless both of you. So again, with humility comes wisdom. And, you know, one of the things, I'll just give you something practical that you can take home with you. You know, a good expression of humility is just to bow to King Jesus, to bow your knee to the Lord. And it's not something that that maybe we practice often. I think maybe in the West we've gotten away from that for whatever reason. We're more comfortable sitting, perhaps. But it's just a good expression of a heart that says, Jesus, you are King. You know, when we bow to Him, when we bow our knee to Him, when we kneel before Jesus, what are we saying with our lives? We're saying, my life is yours, right? I surrender to you. I bow before you. And just remember, with humility comes wisdom. You're gonna find yourself walking in wisdom, making wise decisions. And it said there, the wisest thing you can do is get wisdom. So as we humble ourselves, we're going to have that operating in our lives. And I believe that's going to help us to burn for Jesus. It's going to help us to stay on fire for the Lord. Bowing to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is to acknowledge that He is supreme. And without Him, we can do nothing. Those are His words. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need Him. And we should never be like the church of Laodicea that said, I have everything I want. I'm rich. I don't need anything else. No, we need Jesus. We need His fire burning in our hearts. So let's bow before the Lord in surrender. Let's acknowledge Him as Lord and ask that His fire would burn in our hearts again. I want to lead you in a prayer, and if you want to, you can bow with me. I'm gonna bow before the Lord and acknowledge Him as supreme master in my life. And remember the price that Jesus paid for you to burn so that you could have the fire of God in your life. Jesus paid the ultimate price. He gave His life so that we could have the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Father, we humble ourselves before you today. That's the first step to our land being healed as well. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge you as supreme in our lives. And Father God, we thank you that with humility comes wisdom. And Father, may your wisdom be in operation in our lives like never before, Father God. May we discern the times in which we live. May we live wisely, redeeming the time. May we live wisely, being filled with the Holy Spirit, not being distracted, not being or becoming lukewarm, but burning for you, Jesus. And Father, we ask you right now, afresh and anew, fill us with your Spirit. You can go ahead and ask the Lord to do that in your life, to fill you afresh and anew. Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit once again, and may your fire burn in my heart tonight. I receive fresh fire, and I pray that for your people tonight, fresh fire for each of us, Father. Fresh fire, a fresh fullness of your Spirit in our lives. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may just want to kneel before the Lord from time to time in your private life, in your quiet place, in the privacy of your home. Just continue to acknowledge him, and want to thank you again for standing with us in India. And I hope next time around I'll have my family with me, and so you can see them again. But we sure love you. We appreciate you. And on your way out, if you want to, I have some, it's our annual report from the last ministry year. They're out there on some of the tables. You can pick one up as you go. I should have enough for everybody if you want one. So God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that wonderful? I'll tell you what.